So another question was asked about how are we to understand the importance of telling truth, and how the forefathers would openly say she's my sister when she was their wife. So firstly, we have to recognize that when the Torah says distance yourself from lies, that's a reference to court cases. The Torah is saying in court, be careful not to lie. In general, the prohibition of lying is included in the prohibition against having bad traits. It doesn't stem from that verse. It's Chazal told us that God says, "Kat shakranim," the group of liars, they don't get to see my face. In the world to come, God wants to keep a distance from them. It's a bad trait. But it's not that prohibition, the prohibition of midval shekel tichak. We use it as a borrowed term. We say midval shekel tichak, distance yourself from lying. The literal understanding of the verse is, in general, distance yourself from lying. So we say, yeah, go with the literal translation, stay away. But halachically, the root of the prohibition of lying is the bad traits. Don't adopt this bad trait. This is a bad trait. A person has to be a truthful person. David HaMelech said, the traits of a righteous person is that he doesn't let his mouth emit something that's slightly off from the truth. But we have to first quantify that lying is a bad trait. It's not that prohibition of midval shekel tichak, provided it's not in court. It's a bad trait, just like other things are a bad trait. So we try to adopt good traits. Now, that being said, how could the forefathers lie? So the Avraham Avinu clearly says to Sarah, he says, Imrina achoti at. Please, say that you are my sister. Why? What does he introduce it with? He says, Ata yadati, I hereby know, ki isha yifat mare'at, that you are a good-looking woman. V'haya, and it will be, ki yiru tachamitzrim, when the Egyptians see you. V'ameru, and they'll say, ishto zot, that's his wife. V'harigu oti, they will murder me, v'otach yichayu, and leave you alive. So Avraham says, it's a situation where I'm going to die if we don't say this. So then Chazal said, in a situation where one is going to be killed, then one, for pikuach nefesh, we say, you're allowed to transgress almost every mitzvah. There are exceptions where we say, don't transgress. But almost every mitzvah, we're supposed to forego for the sake of saving our life. So Abraham thought his life was in danger twice. Yitzchak thought his life was in danger. Then they're allowed to lie. Yeah, and not only that.
You take Laban to have normal life.
I don't know what you're referring to.
He tricked Laban. He didn't tell him that...
He didn't lie. But it's not only that. The Mishnah tells us that let's say a person is coming to enter a city and the authorities come and they want to tax him unfairly. So he's allowed to say, this doesn't belong to me. This I'm bringing for someone else. In a situation where he's going to be taxed unfairly, so a person is allowed to also, they're dealing unfairly with him, so he's allowed to present the situation differently to deal with their lack of fairness. Now, the problem with this is that people sometimes decide they could apply this broadly.
But who decides what's unfair and what's fair?
That's why you have to ask your rabbi a question. When I come into Israel...
The rabbi doesn't know. I mean, the government knows that there's this many population, there's this many people that have to pay certain tax. I mean, how does the rabbi know how much...
What he knows he'll answer, what he doesn't know he won't answer. I can tell you that when I come in, I always go through red. Every time I come into the land of Israel or to the United States, I go to customs and I say, here's what I have. You tell me what I have to pay taxes. They've never taken a penny from me. I brought in a laptop. I didn't bring it in. My brother brought it in. I said, I'm only willing for you to bring it in if you have the time to go through red, bring it to customs, and ask them how much they want to pay for it. They didn't take a penny for it. Now, I don't have to be stupid. I don't have to take that laptop and bring it in as new. I told my brother, you use it for 3 weeks. Then you could say, it's my laptop, I'm bringing it for my brother. He really used it for 3 weeks. He wasn't bringing me a laptop in a box. So he took it, he used it, he brought them everything. He laid it before them. They said, okay, if you're not bringing it closed in a box that you could resell it, so then you don't have to pay customs for it. The person doesn't have to be stupid. But a person does have to... In all honesty, that's the case. He used it. He's bringing it for me. Fine. They don't want to take customs on it, but I brought it through customs.
No, the thing is, it's say you pay this much tax, and then you say, well, that's unfair. But it's hard to say if it's unfair or not. I mean, the government trusts that they're going to not overcharge in taxes. I mean, they base it based on the population.
So there are long simanim that discuss what's fair and what's unfair. It's a discussion. There are certain things that we say there's a head tax that everyone's responsible to pay. Then there's income tax. That's all discussed already in the Mishnah. And then there's the greater discussion of a legitimacy of a government. And a government has to have legitimacy to tax. If you say the government is illegitimate, don't use their money. You're using everything from the government, you're admitting they're legitimate. You're admitting they're legitimate that you use it in things that are halachic. When you have to redeem Maaser Sheni, you have to redeem it on money that's legitimate. You can't just redeem it on something that has value. So it's not that you're saying this has value in the world, you're saying this has money, meaning the government has legitimacy. We do treat the Israeli government as legitimate. We might have things that we'd like to change, but we do treat it as legitimate. And as such, we have to also respect many of the laws. Now, when yes and when no, so each person is going to have to ask. There definitely are situations where a government will gang up on a person. That's true in every government. And there are cases where a government is treating a person unfairly. Unfortunately, we see that all the time. And there are situations where a person has to carry his part of the load and pay his part of the taxes. That already, each person has to ask his question. But the halacha says that one is not supposed to lie. If a person is being put in a situation where he's being oppressed unfairly, so then he's given this leniency. There are other situations for shlom bayis. A person called and left a message for a guy, and his wife forgot to give him the message. So the guy comes to him and tells him, why didn't you call me back? I said you'd call me last night. So a person, he's going to say, well, I did call and I left a message with your wife. So then the guy might get upset at his wife. So then a person has to figure out a different way of saying it. Don't say you left it with the wife. Say, maybe I kept calling and the line was busy. I kept my cell phone fell in the water and it broke. I don't know. Then a person is allowed to change. For shalom bayis, we say to maintain peace in a home, a person is allowed to say things differently. And even there, a person should try to change the truth as little as possible. In general, we say a person is not supposed to lie. With regard to our parsha, and Yaakov Avinu standing before his father and saying, Anochi, Esav Bechorecha. So you could look at the Rishonim say very clearly, if a person will get up today and say such a thing, we'd call him a liar. End the story. You could say everything you want, but bottom line, if I come and stand before you and I say, Esav is your firstborn. Esav, your firstborn. I'm certainly misleading a person. So one cannot do that. Whether Yaakov was lying or not, so here, there's a discussion between the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say they go with the opinion in the Medrash that Yaakov saw the situation that the Jewish people were at risk. That's what Rivka saw. That's what Yaakov saw. And this is a situation where, call it, bend the rules. He had to find a way to do it. And that's what God wanted. As we see, God even made Yitzhak blind in order for this to happen. God sent an angel, Michael, to bring him wine to enter, to bring his father. That's one understanding in the Rishonim. Other Rishonim take a totally different understanding. They say Yaakov gained nothing from this. He only lost, and he only suffered throughout his life for this. He set up the enmity that ultimately he'd have to contend with, and generations have been contending with. And Yaakov messed up, and even some Rishonim go so far as to say, when Rivka told Yaakov, Alai kilascha b'ni, I accept the curse. So one, I think it's the Ibn Ezra or the Rashbam, one of the Rishonim say that's the foolishness of women to talk that way. Mm-hmm. He was risking everything. Sometimes a mother will tell her son, don't worry, it's all my responsibility. What do you mean it's all my responsibility? If I'm going to cheat on taxes, I'm going to pay the bill. What do you mean it's my responsibility? He's going before his father. He's risking getting cursed. And they say, some of the Rishonim, I don't remember if it's Ibn Ezra or Rashbam, they say, Yaakov didn't get the blessing because he tricked his father. The only blessing that stood by Yaakov was the blessing that he got later on. Before he left, his father called him in and said, now I'm going to bless you. Now I'm going to give you the blessing of my father, Avraham. When he blessed him, nowhere there does he mention Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Only later when he calls him back in and he says, now I'm giving you, you're the continuum of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's why some Rishonim say that Yaakov, when Yaakov got the first blessings, he got nothing. Yitzchak didn't know it was him. That's not the standard pshat. That's not what we learned Wednesday night, because the midrashim don't go with it. But in pshat, the rishonim balei pshat, some of them do go this route. They say that blessing was a blessing of having material goods. So material good, that was meant to be for Esav. And when Yaakov tricked his father and tricked Esav, Yaakov only lost from that. That's an opinion among rishonim. And that's the opinion that would go with halacha today. The other opinions have to go into a realm that's beyond our understanding, a realm of Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah, Malachim, because pshat, when you read the story, pshat is there was a problem there. He's tricking his father, she's tricking her husband. Now again, I wouldn't take this on my shoulders. I'm quoting. You don't like what I'm saying? Open up a chumash. It's not a question of right or wrong, I'm sorry. I didn't say anyone was right. There's a level of pshat, and there's a level of drush, and there's a level of sod. There are different levels. We know this paradise. Pshat, remez, drush, sod. So the medrash is talking on one level. If we're talking on a level of pshat, the simple understanding, and we're talking on a level of understanding also, what can we derive from it as to how we should behave, then we have to know that we cannot behave this way. There's no way that a person can come and say, I'll talk to my father the way Yaakov spoke to his father, and I'm not a liar.
But he knew that his brother was the prisoner of the Tuma.
Okay.
He murdered, he stole, he raped, and so on. Why is such a bad thing to go and take away the blessing that it shouldn't be even Esau's blessing?
Okay. So you have a question, you feel more comfortable with the Midrashim. The Midrashim will go that way. Toi.
And how can you not trick Esau and not steal his blessing if you know that he is that he sold his firstborn rights?
Okay.
And he's such a rasha that only his head rolled in Machpelah.
Fine. Okay. So there are definitely midrashim that go that way. Okay.